The Second Thursday in Lent, The Danger of Evil Words, by St. John Chrysostom. Whoever shall say, "Thou fool," shall be in danger of hellfire. To many this commandment hath appeared grievous and galling, if for a mere word we are really to pay so great a penalty, and some even say that it was spoken rather hyperbolically. But I fear lest, when we have deceived ourselves with words here, we may in deeds there suffer that extreme punishment. For wherefore, tell me, doth the commandment seem overburdensome? Knowest thou not that thy punishments and most sins have their beginnings from words? Yea, for by words are blasphemies, and denials are by words, and revilings, and reproaches, and perjuries, and bearing false witness. Regard not that its being a mere word, but whether it have not much danger, this do thou inquire. Art thou ignorant that in the season of enmity, when wrath is inflamed, and the soul kindle it, even the least thing appears great, and what is not very reproachful is counted intolerable? And often these little things have given birth even to murder, and overthrown whole cities. For just as where friendship is, even grievous things are light, so where enmity lies beneath, very trifles appear intolerable. And however simply a word be spoken, it is surmised to have been spoken with an evil meaning. And as in fire, if there be but a small spark, though thousands of planks lie by, it doth not easily lay hold of them. But if the flame hath waxed strong and high, it readily seizes not planks only, but stones, and all materials that fall in its ways. And by what things it is usually quenched, by the same it is kindled the more. For some say that at such a time not only wood and tow, and the other combustibles, but even water darted forth upon it doth but fan its power the more. Whatever any one may say, becomes food in a moment for this evil conflagration. All which kind of evils Christ checking beforehand, hath condemned first him that is angry without a cause to the judgment, then him saith Raca to the council. But as yet these are no great things, for the punishments are here. Therefore, for him who calleth fool, he hath added the fire of hell. Now for the first time, in his Sermon on the Mount, mentioning the name of hell. For having discoursed much of the kingdom, not until then did he mention this, implying that the former cometh of his own love and indulgence towards man, this latter of our negligence. And see how he proceeds by little and little in his punishments, all but excusing himself unto thee, and signifying that it is his desire indeed is to threaten nothing of the kind, but that we drag him unto such denunciations. For observe, I bade thee, saith he, not be angry for naught, because thou art in danger of the judgment. Thou hast despised the former commandment. See what anger hath produced. It hath led thee on straightway to insult, for thou hast called thy brother Raca. Again, I set another punishment, the council. If thou overlook even this, and proceed to that which is more grievous, I visit thee no longer with these finite punishments, but with the undying penalty of hell, lest after this thou shouldest break forth even to murder. For there is nothing, nothing in the world more intolerable than insolence. It is what hath very great power to sting a man's soul. But when the word to which is spoken is in itself more wounding than the insolence, the blaze becomes twice as great. Think it not then a light thing to call another a fool. For when of that which separates us from the brutes, and by especially we are human beings, namely the mind and the understanding, when of this thou hast robbed thy brother, thou hast deprived him of all his nobleness. Let us then regard the words merely, but realizing the things themselves and his feelings, let us consider how great a wound is made by this word, and unto how much evil it proceeds. For this cause likewise cast out of the kingdom not only the adulterous and the effeminate, but the revilers also. And with great reason, for the insolent man mars all the beauty of charity, and casts upon his neighbor unnumbered ills, and works everlasting enmities, and tears asunder the members of Christ, and is daily driving away that peace which God so desires, giving much vantage ground unto the devil by his injurious ways, and making him the stronger. Therefore, Christ himself, cutting out the sinews of the devil's power, brought in this law. For indeed, he makes much account of love, this being above all things the mother of every good, and the badge of his disciples, and the bond which holds together our whole condition. With reason, therefore, doth he remove with great earnestness the roots and the sources of that hatred which utterly spoils it. Think not, therefore, that these sayings are in any way hyperbolical, but consider the good done by them, and admire the mildness of these laws. For there is nothing for which God takes so much pains as this, that we should be united and knit together one with another. Therefore, both in his own person and by his disciples, as well as though in the Old as in the New Testament, he makes so much account of this commandment, and is a severe avenger and punisher of those who despise the duty. For in truth, nothing so effectually gives entrance and root to all wickedness as the taking away of love. Wherefore, he also said, when iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. Thus Cain became his brother's murderer. Thus Esau, thus Joseph's brethren, thus our unnumbered crimes have come reveling in, this bond being dissevered. You see why he himself also roots out whatever things injure this, on every side, with great exactness.